Greetings from Dragonfly Cottage. It is Sunday night, the 2nd of February, 2014, at about 10 minutes to 9 p.m. And this is the Mindful Moments at Dragonfly Cottage podcast. Holy macaroni, I hardly know where to start. There have been many moments, mindful and otherwise, in the last week, and it will take me a long, long time to process this week. And it's so bizarre. I feel like I'm in bizarro world, because as I record this podcast, it is so warm. I have the windows open and lovely fresh air coming in, and I just literally turned off the furnace entirely because I was too hot in here. It was 70 something degrees with nothing turned on. Now let's step back and talk about the last week. There is this polar vortex or whatever happening all over the country, but this is Wilmington, North Carolina, folks. This is the place you can get your Christmas tree in shorts, where I have gardened in January in weather in the 70s, where in the nearly 22 years I've lived here, I was so grateful even to just have a year where we saw 3 flakes of snow in the air. A week ago Friday, and I think I mentioned this first little bit in the last podcast, a week ago Friday, that night, it dropped down to something like 16 degrees, and I had a pipe freeze and crack, and the gentleman came out, and he got things kind of patched up as he could. He didn't have all of the tools on his Saturday, shut off the hot water, and it would be Monday before he would be back. I think that I recorded the podcast on Sunday last week, so you probably heard the first little bit of this. But Saturday, everything was a mess. The pipe had been cracked. I had a bit of a mess here. The hot water heater had been like banging and clanging and making a god-awful noise, like a haunted house, sort of a something banging and clanging along. And by the time he left that night and I had no hot water, I also slipped and fell, and kind of my pride was hurt more than anything else, but I was banged up a bit. And one of those things where you just ache for hot water to get in and just stand in because you feel like somebody's beaten you with a board. And the weekend went on and there was no hot water and the dishes were piling up, and my dishwasher, I was full of dishes that I couldn't run because I had no hot water. And I thought, well, I don't have hot water, but maybe if I just run it with cold water, it will loosen the dishes. I didn't know until today, in fact. Or was that yesterday? They've all run together, folks. That a dishwasher only runs off the hot water line. So when I tried to run it, there really was no water. It was just giving its all in there with no water at all, so that the dishes not only looked worse for having tried, but it damaged the dishwasher. Something got all fouled up for running it when he had shut off the water. I did not realize how bad that was. And then we hit the week that was, that will probably go down in the history books of Wilmington, North Carolina weather. We always joke here that if you lived someplace else, I grew up in the Midwest, where we knew from snow. I grew up learning how to drive on ice and snow. And here, that we just literally, I mean seriously, once in a while, every few years, there's a few flakes, but we don't know ice and snow here. So consequently, the other places around, wherever you live probably, if you're in an area that gets a fair amount of snow, you are prepared for it. The city will have trucks for snow removal and things to put down on the roads. But when you live someplace like Wilmington that never gets it, there's really no need, I guess, in the city budget to buy snow removal equipment when, you know, maybe in 10 years you have 3 flakes of snow. Well, we had a storm hit this week, and by Monday they were saying no school. My daughter's a psychologist and works with children with autism and drives an hour to her work. And her work was canceled. My grandson and everyone's school was canceled. By Tuesday, my vet called to cancel an appointment. They were leaving at noon. I wouldn't have gone out in the weather with my little pug-a-lug anyway. The bank closed early. Everything was literally shutting down. By noon on Tuesday, there was freezing rain. By Tuesday evening, everything was a sheet of ice and it was snowing. Now you see, I was enchanted to look out, and I just have so missed snow. It was just enchanting seeing it. It was wicked nasty out, but it was pretty. Until I realized that I have 4 dogs who don't know from snow. Oi, oi, oi. By Tuesday evening, luckily it didn't really start until like 1 or 2 here. So the dogs had been in and out, you know, several times in the morning to early afternoon, which helped. But I would open the door when the weather was just starting, and they looked at me like, surely you jest. There's something going on out there, and we are not going out in it. Finally, I stopped trying because it was getting so slick. Here, where I am speaking to you from Dragonfly Cottage Studio, where I work, and out my studio door is some of you have seen it if you follow my work or my blog, and I think there have even been pictures here. I have a very large deck that I walk out onto, and it is painted flamingo pink. I have a bright pink deck, and it has built-in benches around 2 sides, and one wall is my studio wall. And one wall is my garage. I have a 1-car attached garage wall that kind of forms a corner. And then I had, and I believe that I have a picture up with these podcasts at Audio Lou. In the fall, I had this really cool wall built that is, it's sort of a partial wall that for privacy. And although, you know, I live in a woods area, so there are neighbors over there, but we do have like a thicket of woods between us. But this really, it was more for effect. I have this wall that there's many wind chimes and beautiful white twinkly lights. And so it's really kind of enclosed on 3 sides for the most part. And the back goes down the stairs out into the gardens. But I have on my studio wall side that looks out onto the deck, there are very large bird feeders all the way down, and then the wall that goes in front of the garage part, there's bird feeders. So there's probably 8 or 10 bird feeders out here, and I have a very large population of wild birds that come. And I love sitting here at my desk, which is a 9-foot-long, very, very old, wonderfully worn farmer's table, old pine farmer's table. I sit here and I watch the wild birds. But the weather was starting in, and I was really worried about them. There were so many birds out there, and I went out. They were eating a lot, and I'm glad that they had that the food was there, but I wanted, before it got really bad, to fill all the feeders. So, 30-pound bag of seed. I get wonderful bird seed at Sam's Club. 30-pound bags, and I was dragging this bag around, kind of slip sliding. It was like an ice skating rink, and I got them all filled, and I was in and out this week. I mean, within hours, the huge water bowls I put out for the wild birds would be frozen solid. So I was in and out, making sure the wild birds had fresh water. And by that night, the weather had kind of stopped, but ooh, it was nasty out there. And I'm just becoming a nervous wreck, because anybody with dogs that don't want to go out in weather, well, we were in for this weather was going to last for 3 or 4 days. We were going to have to do something about the potty issue. I had gotten them their dinner, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And wee tiny little Delilah, my little bitty girl pug, she's 5 years old, and she came to me last September. She was rescued from being used as a puppy mill breeder, and she's just a tiny little girl, just adorable. I think you saw her picture last week. She likes to sleep all snuggled up with me with her little face tucked into my neck. She is adorable. I turned around, and bless her heart, she squatted and she pee-peed and went. I swear it looked like Lake Michigan. She had been holding it all day. So I am, you know, cleaning all of that up, and I get out carefully thinking, okay, I'm going to be 60 in April. I'm here alone, folks. You know, if I fall and break my neck, nobody can even get to me. I always carry my cell phone in case I have any issue, but nobody could even get to me to help me because everybody's iced in. So I go out, and amazingly, the weather had kind of stopped for a while, and we'd gotten a snow covering on top of the ice, so the dogs could get a little traction, and my young boy pugs, Tanner and Pugsley, 4 and 7 years old, they went gingerly down the stairs, out onto the snow, went to the potty, and came back up. I just about flopped back against the wall in relief. And then there is my blessed, beloved boy, my heart pug, Samson. Samson was the second of the 10 pugs that I've adopted from Mid-Atlantic Pug Rescue. He is literally my sweetheart. When Sam came to me, I had already adopted a little old girl named Babs, tiny, tiny little black pug girl, who always looked mad, even when she was wagging her tail and happy. She was adorable. And I was called by a lady in the rescue who said, "Maitri, I know you're open to taking the seniors or the disabled or some that have issues that make them, you know, a little hard to adopt. And we have a little pug here who has been adopted out but come back because he really has serious separation anxiety. He'd been through a lot of abuse and neglect and was in pitiful shape when they got him. And his name is Samson, and we thought maybe you'd give it a try because you're home, but he really does have severe separation anxiety." And I said, "That's okay, so do I. We'll get along just fine." And that little boy came in the door, and we just fell passionately in love with one another. And that has been so since he came into my life in September 2007. Sammy is now 15 and a half, and I am very protective of him, and he has a pretty bad arthritis, and he's on all kinds of supplements and good things and an anti-inflammatory, and really, the vet adores him. I mean, she adores all of our pugs. They have so much fun with the pugs. I think they didn't have any pugs in this little practice, and here I came with 4. They just have so much fun with them. And he took one look at this open door out on the deck. And he gingerly put a paw out there and got an immediate look of abject horror on his little face. And you know pug faces. They are funny little faces anyway. He backed up as fast as he could into the house. I was just as horrified. There was no way that he was going to make it. Wobbly, you know, he walks kind of wobbly. It's kind of like as the front is going, the back end kind of goes a different direction. He just, bless his heart, he just was not going to navigate this. And it is not good for them not to go to the bathroom. And I tried. I thought, could I carry him? I thought, I will break my neck out there and neither one of us will get back. And he's stone deaf. I mean, if he got away from me and I called him, he could get like marooned out somewhere and he'd never hear me. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I took him in the garage. My little one-car attached garage just off the deck. I go in and out there. I have shelving units with art supplies and tons and tons of bins of fiber that I hand spin and yarn and, you know, kind of neat shelving units all around my little car. And Sammy loves to come in there and trot around with me when I'm getting things. So I thought, well, it was very, very cold. But that was protected. Concrete floor, easy to clean up. I took him in there. He looked so relieved. He immediately went potty in both directions. And we all heaved a sigh of relief and came inside. And I slumped in my chair and I thought, dear God, because it was going to be 3 days of this. And the next couple of days, you know, I got Sammy to go to the potty in the garage. And by the time the snow had stopped on Wednesday, Delilah and the younger boys all went out. And we had, I mean, it was like a winter wonderland. Everything completely white. I'm not good at judging these things. I don't know if it was 6 or 8 inches. I don't think it was a foot. But let me tell you something. I am not a dainty girl. And this snow is so hard packed. When I walked across it, not so much as a footprint. It did not even give. It was packed solid. But there, the snow made it not quite so slippery. If you got around the edges someplace, like around the edges of my deck that were kind of under the eaves, that really didn't get much snow, pure ice. So I got out. That's what I'll do. I'll put up a picture of the dogs in the snow. And I will really enjoy that, because if I do these podcasts for another 20 years, it might be the only time we ever have snow in Wilmington. So we had 3 days getting Delilah and the little boys out into the yard a few times a day to go potty, getting Sammy into the garage to go potty, and cleaning up after him. And meanwhile, one hates to put it this way, as the saying goes, fat, dumb, and happy. Once I navigated the bathroom issue with the pugs, and I was kind of enjoying the snow, and I thought that the gentleman who had wrapped my pipes up in towels, since there was no insulation to be found in town, hopefully that was taking care of it. And I couldn't use the dishwasher, but I couldn't really see any other issues. So we went through those few days. And then, let me think, it was Friday. By Thursday night, the heat stopped working. And I went out at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And Lord, I'm losing my days. I'm trying to think if it was, yes, it was Thursday night. Thursday night, it got so cold in here. And I had noticed when I was outside that it looked like there was some ice on the heat pump outside, and I didn't really think about it. But by late night, as the temperature was falling in the house and it was getting cold, it occurred to me that there probably was an ice issue out there. Fortunately, we had electricity, and I have a little energy saver, little heater that I put back here in the studio by Scarlet, my gray parrot that I adopted a year and a half ago, because she's essentially neckety. You know, she came looking like she was plucked and ready to go in the stew pot. She'd been a lifelong plucker. And she's grown most of her feathers back, but her chest is still naked. So I have a little snuggy, cozy thing in her cage, and at night she's covered, and I run this little heater next to her cage so she stays warm. So we have that. I worry most when it got cold about the birds, because, you know, the dogs are furry, and they and I could snuggle up under covers, and I have a fireplace that I could have used if it got bad. But I thought, oh God, this is, you know, what's happening here, and I worried that something would be bad. 3 o'clock in the morning, in my nightgown, with sweaters and socks and my furry Crocs shoes, all I wear. Have a house full of Crocs, it's all I wear. Bad feet, surgeries, breaks, whole nother podcast. But I put on my furry Crocs and thick socks and sweaters and shawls, and I have a little lantern. It looks like an old-fashioned lantern, but it's like an LED light, and my cell phone in my pocket. And I went out with literally when I first tried to break off some of the ice, it was so hard. I mean, nothing would, I used some big sticks out there, but I took the poker from the fireplace, folks. I was serious. That thing was so ice covered. I was at 3 o'clock in the morning in my nighttime attire, all bundled up, chipping ice off. I got all of the ice cleaned off, and I came back in. I must have been blue, and I was shaking, and I just turned off the furnace, because it wasn't going to be good for it to run and run and run and run. And I burrowed in with the pugs, and we slept. And when I got up, I noticed outside it was starting to kind of drip, and Friday was the beginning of the thaw. And to let you know how bad it really was, there was no trash pickup on Friday. I mean, you know, the city trash trucks, no postal service for a day or so. I mean, when that stuff doesn't run, you know, it's bad for, you know, a little city like Wilmington. What I didn't know was that there was indeed more damage. Another pipe cracked, but everything was so frozen that I couldn't see it. And I got up on Saturday morning, and it looked like it was raining in my kitchen. Water everywhere. I've got these god-awful stains all over my ceiling, and it was literally just dripping, not just over the sink where it originally had the pipes, behind the kitchen sink that are at the outer wall, that's where outside, but oddly, and folks, I don't know about all this stuff, you don't have basements in Wilmington, because we're on the ocean, and nobody has basements here. I never heard of this, which doesn't mean it's rare, but water pipes actually run up through the attic over the kitchen outside, and it was there where there was the first crack is where there was a joint or something from where the pipe went from the attic down the kitchen wall. That had been semi-repaired on the previous Saturday, but because the gentleman couldn't get back to fix it properly, another crack happened, and now it was a mess. And a year and a half ago, I had to have new heat pump, air conditioning, everything put in, all new insulation. I mean, it was a very expensive job, one of those major groans. And of course, all that beautiful new insulation up there, green insulation, As you know, we're very proper about these things. Well, it's probably a soggy mess up there, because he didn't even look when he came back Saturday. And oy vey, oy vey. So I'm dealing with this all weekend, and tomorrow I have to call the insurance company. And if you get a chance to read a story on my blog at maitriatdragonflycottage.com, M-A-I-T-R-I-A-T, dragonflycottage.com, you're going to want to go back an entry or so to Saturday night when I had just a disaster happen. I mean, I can't even believe it. And we are at 25 minutes, and I only can go 30 with this podcast, and you're probably worn out by now anyway, hearing me moan and groan about the weather. But I had no food, literally, just I couldn't get out and shop. I was going to the day the weather hit. And so after I fed the dogs, I'm not one that goes, eats much fast food, but there just was no food. And so once in a while, I will just not even get out of the car, just drive through and get some fast food. It's like an outing for me just to stay in my wonderful little Patty-mobile. That's what I call her. I have an orange, bright orange Honda Element that I love dearly. I named her Patty for Peppermint Patty, which makes no sense, I realize, Charlie Brown. And you see, the thing is, folks, I'm agoraphobic. I rarely ever leave my house. I have to take medication to do so. I can only once in a while drive through someplace, but you see, I don't get out of the car. Well, I drove there. And it was almost 9, and that's later than I usually am out, even just driving through. So I turned on the radio, but I didn't run the engine and the radio. So when I got ready to go, all of the lights were flashing, saying all manner of horrible things were wrong. Blink, 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 airbags, this, that, and the other. I am not dressed, folks. I had been out shoveling snow off things, and I had a ratty old caftan on, and socks, and Crocs, and a sweater, and I was just going to drive through. Now I'm agoraphobic in a car, in a fast food parking lot. I'm terrified. I'm about to have a breakdown. I'm in tears, and I call AAA, and I tell my whole life story. I'm agoraphobic and I have pugs at home that need me. Can you believe I threw that in? And I'm stuck in the parking lot of Wendy's, and I really don't ever get fast food, hardly ever, but there was no food in the house. Good God, I told everything I knew. And I'm sobbing by now. If you're agoraphobic, which the whole article that I wrote about was being agoraphobic, and I'm going to do another piece. But go to maitriatdragonflycottage.com, and you can hear the pitiful tale about the agoraphobic woman not even hardly dressed right in a car in a parking lot that won't start after a terrible storm when her pipes are broke and on and on. This was the week that was, as it were. I want to invite you, before we close here, to, when you visit the website, to sign up for the daily podcasts from Dragonfly Cottage. They are tending to be about 10 minutes long, 5 days a week. You get a cute little email and a link to a private page. It's for subscribers only. And the first week of these podcasts started in the middle of all of this weather, and things were going wrong and haywire, but a podcast went out every day this week. And when you join, You get a year's worth of podcasts, access to the archives, newsletters, all kinds of goodies, and I would love to have you with us. And you can hear more wacky stories from Dragonfly Cottage with pugs and parrots and snow or not, and gardens and writing and mindfulness and all kinds of things. And I really, really do hope that you will join the daily podcasts from Dragonfly Cottage. And as I end up this week, I would like to tell you to have a wonderful week ahead. I'm sending you love and good wishes. Stay warm, stay safe, stay dry. Don't let me pipes crack. And take care. Farewell from Dragonfly Cottage.